We love you. Miracles are happening in this place. We give honor to you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. Miracles are happening. Some of those are invisible miracles. They're happening inside somebody's heart. But miracles are happening in this place. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why don't you thank the Lord that he knows who you are and he cares about you. Lord, you know my name. You know who I am. You know when I go out and when I come in, you've watched my steps. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, this is a good time for us to pour out to him because he's been pouring out to us. That's it. He's been flooding this room with his presence. Be a perfect time for you to return that and just give back that worship to him. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. You've done more than we've ever deserved. You've been better than we've ever earned. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I'm glad that I'm in his house on Pentecost Sunday. It was a day like this. I mean, this normal day. It was a day like this that a sound came from heaven like a rushing wind, filled the house. The glory that filled the house was the same glory we're feeling that fills this house today. Amen. The Lord poured out his spirit. What a wonderful birthday for his church. I'm glad I'm in his church right now. Hallelujah. I want us to go to him with some thanks. My brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Brett, wants to thank everybody in this church that prayed for him. Serious circumstances, and he's had several days of testing and some scary stuff going. My wife's sister Barb had critical eye surgery. She's so thankful that we've all been praying with her for this. How many of God's just done something good for you this week? You didn't think about writing a testimony and sending it to the newspaper, but he did something good. Let's thank him. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for good days. Thank you for good days when nothing bad happened. Thank you for days when we were in good health, that our minds were clear and your strength was in our bodies and we breathed your good air. Oh God, thank you for the gifts of God. Thank you for what you've done for those we prayed for. Your miracle power is still at work. I worship you, Jesus, for it today. What a good day. What a good day to be here. And so thankful for Brandon and Laura being here to help us today. Amen. I know we're so glad. Love you guys. Love you. And I'm glad I'm in the house of God. Amen. And you can be seated. I've got two or three things that I want to do. One thing is last Sunday was we honored our graduates. And I made a comment that almost to the point of being a revolt, a mutiny taking place. let all of our seniors off without making their speech that all of our seniors through the years have had to make. After service was over, I found out that one of our seniors was prepared to make their speech. And I'm going to honor that senior right now and ask him to come and give his speech. Brother Jaden, come up here. Class of 2023. Is this without notes?
Good afternoon, church. I just wanted to give special thanks to everyone that was in my life that supported me to get to this point, especially my mom and dad. They helped me a lot to be the person I am today. And I mean, I had a lot more. I'm running off memory right now, but I really appreciate all you guys and just supporting me on my journey to becoming a young adult.
All right. And he said all of that without notes. It's amazing. All right. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let our ushers come. While they come, I have a picture. Brother Jackson, were you able? Do you have that picture? I want to just go ahead and show that right now, because this is Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day is to honor those who did give their lives in service to the country, and possibly that will just remind you, isn't that heart-touching? Young man who will either have to go through the rest of his life without a father or a mother, whichever it was that died somewhere in the service of the country. Let these brethren bring this and let's offer this to the Lord. May I ask if they'll just lay their hands on this offering and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is our gift to you. It belonged to you. You put it in our hands. You trusted us. And this, we want to put this back in your hand today. Let it accomplish the things you already know you've destined it for. Bless the homes, the hearts, the lives of people who are so faithful. Week after week, they're faithful to your instruction and your word. You promised you're going to open the windows of heaven. You're going to pour out blessings on them. We trust you for that. We have no doubt. We believe that's the promises of God are so sure. So let them continue to be blessed and let us continue to do the work of God and please you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I want to read from the scripture today. I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. I'm believing that all across the land today, churches are being blessed in God's anointing hearts and lives. Exodus chapter 1, I want to begin reading with verse 8. And it says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burden. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Terrible sentence. That was a death sentence. That was the effort to stop what Pharaoh considered to be an impending doom for his country. There are things that will grow out of control if they're not stopped. I'm sure you understand cell division, cells in our bodies. There are actually two kinds of cell division. One is where a cell replicates itself. It passes on all the same characteristics, has every quality. The skin of your body is so many thousands of cells being reproduced constantly. And the only difference in cell reproduction is that for reproductive lives. And in that case, the cell divides and half the chromosomes divide so that when those are reunited, then the right number of chromosomes are in the cell of the new baby that's going to be born. But they divide and multiply, divide and multiply, divide. Suppose there are things that follow that principle, but if they are not controlled, can bring chaos. If there are cultures that are being created in the laboratory, and cultures, and the scientists are watching as those cells divide, multiply, cells divide, multiply, divide, multiply. If there's no control, if that is a harmful culture that's being developed, it could grow out of control. And so, you know, people are conscious of this. There has to be something there. If you know the theory behind nuclear fission, when something gets started, there's a point that there's no stopping, and an uncontrollable result happens. I'm not a chemist. I've never claimed to be, but I do understand that if the wrong chemicals come together, if you just took the wrong things, and you know, you can take bleach out of your house, you can have the wrong things come together. You could have explosions, you could have poisons, you could fill your house with toxic, noxious fumes. Somewhere along the way, that rapidly growing, multiplying building thing has to be stopped. somebody talk, you know, when you talk about things that divide and multiply, you have one cell. Suppose you had a beaker, a jar, and you had one cell that every moment it divided and multiplied itself. And you started the timer, and after 4 days and 59 minutes, the beaker is half full. It's taken 4 days and almost an hour to be half full. Do you know how long it's going to take for it to be completely full? One more minute. Because that rapid multiplication that doubles itself every moment, doubles itself every moment. Pharaoh's sort of looking at something like this, and Pharaoh said, look, we've got to do something to stop this before it destroys us. And in his desperation, he made a law for genocide of the babies. But now, here's a problem, Pharaoh. There's a woman that's already put her baby under a plan. Now, I'm sure the scripture said he puts the death of the babies is already in motion before mama puts little Moses in a basket. But Pharaoh, you may think you're stopping your destruction, but Moses is floating in the river. I'm just going to say that Pharaoh is symbolic of Satan simply because of the fact that he was an adversary to the people of God and tried to destroy them. There is another adversary, and we know him. You see, the devil was not a stranger to God. According to the word of the Lord, he was an angel with position and authority. He was a high-ranking angel. And his own pride said, I'm not satisfied just having all the glory, you know, and leading the choir and having musical talent. And I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be God instead of a worshiper of God. So if I could get worship to me, and of course, God is not going to share his glory with anybody. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall out of heaven. And so Satan knows as God's plan begins to unfold. You know, you read your Bible through every year. How many has already read it through at least once this year? Okay, keep at it. The devil probably reads the Bible a bunch of times a year. He knows what all the prophecies are. He knows all the prophecies about a virgin shall be with child. He knew that. He knew that in the Garden of Eden, he wasn't just hiding listening. He's part of the audience because God's got a message for him too. And he hears God say, Eve, from your lineage, from your seed, there's going to be somebody that's going to be born. It's going to be a baby born. It's going to crush the head of this serpent. And y'all going to be enemies now. You and this snake, y'all going to hate each other. Now, if you ever see a woman with a python and she's hugging on it and loving on it, she ain't a real woman. She's supposed to hate those snakes. Now, if you're one of them, I'm not going to apologize. You just pray through, and then we'll both be right. And so Satan knows that somebody's coming, and it's going to be bad news. So throughout history, you understand, throughout the work of God in the Bible, this Bible is not world history, it's his story. It's God's story of how he's dealing with mankind and with his church and his plan of redemption. And so God's plan unfolds, and the years go by, the prophecies fall into their time frames the way they're supposed to. And an angel says to a virgin, you're the one who's been chosen. The Spirit of God's going to overshadow you. And first he said, you're going to have a baby. She said, it's not possible because I've kept myself pure. He said, here's what's going to happen. Spirit of God's going to overshadow you. And God is going to be the father of your baby. And you know the prophecies. You know the story. She goes to spend some time with Elizabeth, who is in her sixth month and is going to give birth to John the Baptist. And she stays with her for 3 months, and Mary comes back home. And Satan, Pharaoh, knows, I got to do something about this, because if this multiplication process happens, if this culture grows, if this fusion takes place, I am in trouble. And so from the very beginning, from the birth of Jesus, Satan tries to find him and have him killed. Isn't it wonderful that God wakes up Joseph in the middle of the night and says, hey, take your baby, take your wife, go down to Egypt. You know, the Bible doesn't indicate that God even explained to Joseph everything that Herod was planning to do. But Herod has babies killed while Satan's threat travels through the dark to Egypt. So all through his life and his ministry, you know all about it, that there was scorn in his life. When Jesus was trying to minister as an adult, they said, why are you talking to us? We're not born of fornication. You know, we're not illegitimate. They're saying you are. We know all about the story, but we know the truth is that your mom was immoral. And during his ministry, even the religious leaders, it was the high priest that said, you know, don't it make sense that if one person dies to save the country, that's a good thing? And the Bible said by that he was saying that Jesus needed to die. Because, you see, there's a threat in the laboratory. There's danger. There's danger. Pharaoh, you can sense it, but you hadn't figured out how to stop it. And so Jesus is in his ministry. You see, Satan even got him when he was praying before he started his active ministry. Satan tried to stop him there with temptation I'm familiar with pride. Let me give you a little of my pride. You know what? Come up on the pinnacle of the temple and look all those nations. I'll give you all those if you worship me. And Jesus says, don't you try to tempt the Lord your God. You know what's written. And so here's the Pharaoh of Jesus' day that's trying to stop impending doom. Because Jesus says, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. And he said, you know, the things that I'm doing, you're going to do them. I'm going to be comfort. I'm going to be in you. And see, if I was the devil and I heard that, I would say, not on this planet. You are not going to have the chance, because Bubba, I will haul you to Golgotha's hill. I'll nail you to a cross before that can happen. See, some folk believe that that Jesus' ministry was supposed to be fulfilled some kind of earthly family. I don't know how many of you remember Sun Yun Moon. He called himself Reverend Sun Yun Moon. Reverend, which means revered, you show reverence to. I remember years ago, some of his followers regularly came here to Sumter. They would sit out on the corner of one of the intersections on the sidewalk selling roses. Sun Yun Moon owned all those nurseries and flower houses, and so all that money they were selling was coming to him. I took their videos and watched them as a professor explained all the doctrine of Sun Yun Moon and drew his little stuff on his chalkboard and his yin and yang and all that foolishness. But Sun Yun Moon said that he went to heaven and he talked with God. And God said, you know, I had a project for Jesus, but he failed. He didn't get the job done. I wanted Jesus to go down and raise up righteous children, but he got folks mad at him and got killed. And so, Sun Yun Moon, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to send you back to earth, and you raise up sinless children. Yeah. So he gets married to a sinful woman. And supposedly his children are sinless children. He has mass weddings, thousands. He'll perform thousands of weddings at one time. In fact, some of the folk here, the man was an American, married a Japanese girl. She didn't speak English. He didn't speak Japanese. They didn't pick out each other. Sun Yun Moon picked them out, paired them off and married them. And they're here trying to sell roses for him. And so that's his message. Jesus was a failure because he's supposed to raise up sinless children. That's, you know, some folk have a feeling. You know, Satan would say, look, I know there's trouble. And here's Jesus saying, I'm going to send my spirit back. I'm going to be in you. And the things I'm doing, you're going to do. He's saying, I'm going to replicate myself in you. Instead of it just being one of me, every time there's two and there's four and there's eight and there's 16 and there's 32, 64, 87, 96, I've lost. You know, I was saying it right and I got my tongue over my eye tooth, couldn't see what I was saying. Got a little tangled up there. Higher math, you know. They asked a blonde how high she could count, and she did up to 10. They said, is that as high as you can count? She said, no. 1, 2, 3, 4. That wasn't religious. That's not in the Bible. It's not a Bible story. That's a parable. Para something. But see, Satan needs to stop this before it multiplies. So he has Jesus beaten at the whipping post. He has him nailed to a cross and maybe goes home to cheer. But the problem is, after 3 days, we know the story. Well, I mean, we read the prophecy before it happened. Jesus said, it's like, you know, like Jonah, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days, and I'm going to come out again, destroy this temple 3 days. I'll raise it again. And so after 3 days, he rises. Now, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Passover. So he's in the earth 3 days. 40 days he's seen of people. So that means 7 days they were in the upper room waiting for the day of Pentecost. Sometimes it's hard to get folk to stay in there for 2 hours. They stayed for a week. Can you believe that? But on the day of Pentecost, the sound like a rushing wind fills the house. There appeared to them cloven tongues like fire, whether it was fire or whether it appeared to be fire. Flickering flames. You say, well, some people say, we know, I don't really believe it was flickering flames. I believe it was just, it was sort of like the Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus when he's baptized. It, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was there burning sort of like a fire would burn, but you just didn't see it. But I don't believe that. I believe they saw that because whenever the Holy Ghost was poured out here in America at Topeka, Kansas, on the first day of the year, when Agnes Osmond began to speak with tongues, and then 12 others began to sing the same song in all different languages, the historian said flames of fire flickered over their heads. And the promise of the Father is given. You know, Satan, you waited too long. It's already too late. Because he's already poured out his spirit. He's duplicating himself. It's, you see, he has tried ever since the explosive day of Pentecost to still stop and hamper and stop this mass explosion that's happening. You had the persecution of the early Christians we read in the book of Acts. We have the 1,200 years of dark ages that come from the work of the Catholic Church to try to stamp out anything that was apostolic. We've got nations that rise and governments that try to cut God out of their whole nation. They can make statues to Stalin and memorials to people like Hitler. But Stalin and Hitler couldn't stop the multiplication of Jesus dividing and multiplying. It's like him breaking the bread, and he continues to break. Because here's another little Jesus right here. Here's another. Why? Because you're going to say the things that I said. You're going to do the things I did. You're going to put your hand on somebody, and they're going to be healed. You're going to have a prophetic word of knowledge. The works of the Spirit, they're going to operate through you. And so while the devil's over here trying to handcuff this one, there's 1,000 more over here doing the same thing. I'm running out of handcuffs. Why? Because you already waited too late. It's you did everything you could, but you're still too late. Because we are the product of what he said was going to happen. And you know what? We can keep on multiplying, y'all. We can keep on multiplying. You know what? If we were conscious all the time instead of occasions when we're in church, if we were conscious all the time that there's somebody around me, I'm fixing to multiply myself. I'm fixing to duplicate myself into somebody. You know, it don't hurt to find out if they say yes or no. You know, I don't think we have to tell everything. Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, might have been the day before, I was in Verizon discussing some things. A young lady was very helpful, and it was time to go, and you know, no other reason. I just sort of heard a little thing. And when I started going, I said, I wish you and your husband and your two-year-old son would come to church with me. Now, it's easy for somebody to say, I've got my own church, all that. She said, I need to find a new church. We've been going to church in Camden. Need to show them where the church is in Camden. But she lives here in Sumter. You know what? I want to find somebody I can duplicate myself. Because the day of Pentecost is still happening. It's still happening. It's still happening. Won't you stand with me? I want us to pray that God will help us be so conscious that it's His will. We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for some gestational period. I believe these cells can duplicate now. Let's pray it together. Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, here we are. You started something that was massive. You started an explosion of the church. And we're involved in that today. Help us. Help us to be so conscious that this is not just a dead program, but we are multiplying. We are part of what your miracle was. It's our day to see those who need to be born into the revelation of this truth. Would you flow through us? Would you let your Spirit work through us? I pray for this entire congregation. I pray there are people in this room today who are filled and they're toxic with your power and your explosive anointing. I pray, God, that you help us release that, touch somebody's lives with it, that this church is filled for your glory. I ask it in your name, Jesus. I give you all the thanks, all the honor, all the praise today across the world where you're filling people with the Holy Ghost. Let it be multiplying in the church. Your word said you added to the church daily, 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 such as should be saved. I give praise to you, Jesus, in your name. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I believe that if you've at one time felt the hand of God touch you, and somehow Satan found some kind of antidote to stop your progress, put you on hold somewhere, I wish today the Lord would reactivate that power. I'm going to open this altar, and I want us, you see, the devil's still, he's still trying to stop all of this. Heard about the Berlin Wall again today. I grew up with folk talking about the Berlin Wall. I grew up seeing pictures of that, stories in the news, people that would try to escape and were shot down. I grew up with that story being a living event. I want you to know right now, today, people in places like Cuba are getting the Holy Ghost. I just read a report last night, great outpouring of the Holy Ghost happening in Cuba. Around the world. Because it's already too late for Satan to stop what God's doing in his church. Amen. I want to be part of that. While they sing, I'm going to open this altar for us to come. I love altar service because I like to be in it. I'm just going to invite us to come. If there's somebody and somehow Satan has tried to stop that work, would you let God reactivate it today? Or just come find a place to say, God, look, I stood on the sidelines. I listened. I let him touch me somehow and stop what you were doing. But I'm putting myself in your hand again right now. I want to be part of this multiplying, growing church. Would you flow through me? Would you refill me? Would you reignite me? Would you just rekindle that fire in me?